I'm feeling all good in the hood. I'm feeling so nice and chill like ice. I'm feeling excited. I'm feeling justified. I'm feeling validated. I'm feeling all the feels after last night, Andy. All the feels.
103-101 Laker win over the Clippers. It's all restarted down in the bubble. The regular season is upon us. The one seed, LZ, for all intents and purposes, that is a wrap. The Lakers have to literally lose out, and the Clippers have to win out for anything to happen other than the one seed. So the Lakers now have all the freedom to do whatever the hell they want for the rest of this restart. And you saw pretty much all the guys on this team that really matter come through in a game that had its really raggedy spots, and the Lakers had to make a comeback down double digits at one point. And then guys like Anthony Davis, guys like Kyle Kuzma, Dion Waiters, and then down the stretch, LeBron iced this game for the Lakers. And remind you, even as they're still playing back into form, even if they're still figuring out how everything works again, exactly why they are on the short list of teams that could end up winning this whole thing.
Well, first of all, I want to give a special shout out to one Kyle Kuzma, who, in my opinion,
indeed
played the best game of the season. This was, in my opinion, his best overall game. He has scored more. He has grabbed more rebounds. He has played more minutes. But personally, I don't think since the acquisition of Anthony Davis, Kyle Kuzma has played or looked better than he did last night. There wasn't a moment in which I found myself asking where he was. There wasn't a moment in which I found myself asking, why did he take that shot? There wasn't a moment in which I was asking, where's the defense? In which I wasn't asking, where's the hustle? He balled out. I know we got to talk about LeBron, and we're going to do that because LeBron did his thing. And I know we got to talk about Anthony Davis. We got to do that because Anthony Davis did his thing. But I'm going to give some shout out right first up in front to Kyle Kuzma, because Kyle Kuzma has finally shown you why they kept him. Why they kept him. If he can just do that, what he did last night, four or five from free throw line, 16 points, but more importantly, 7 good rebounds. Not the BS guy, 7 good, solid in traffic rebounds. One turnover, just one. If you have him doing that, and LeBron and AD just do what they normally do, you're not losing. You're not losing. And I know Clippers are going to be like, we didn't have Lou Williams, and we didn't have much as hell. And I get all that. I get all that. That's 40 points. I get all that.
It makes a difference.
But that just means.
It makes a difference. There's no question.
That just means that some of the shots that the other guys took just goes back to them. That's all it means. They scored 101 points. So it's not as if you took Lou Will and Montrezl Harrell out of the lineup, out of their options, and they could barely score. They scored 101 points. And oh, by the way, without Lou Will taking up a lot of the minutes, the defense the Clippers played was significantly better. The Lakers barely shot 39% from the field. So whatever they lost in offense
second,
by not having Lou Will, they made up
for
defense for not having Lou Will.
Second and third quarter, the Lakers could barely score. I was going to say second and third quarter, the Lakers could barely score. They could barely score. So you're correct in the sense that, you know, yeah, they missed Lou Williams. They missed the ability to generate some of those shots, the tandem between him and Montrezl Harrell. But there's always that cost you pay defensively to having Lou on the court in the first place. So, and Kuzma, to your point, I remember earlier we were talking about how Kyle Kuzma, for the Lakers to reach their highest potential, like the best version of themselves that they can be, it's not just about Kuzma being a third scorer. It's about him being a third player, like a third presence, the way Chris Bosh was, or at his best, Kevin Love was, and as the third guy on those championship teams, being an all-around presence. And that's what we saw from Kuzma in this game. He got, whether because it was his primary assignment or whether he got switched on to Kawhi Leonard, on several possessions, he held his own. He held his own on those possessions. He made Kawhi Leonard either give up the ball or work for a shot. Like, that all-around game that you want to see from Kuzma, that was there last night. And I agree with you. This is the best game I remember Kuzma playing all around, like all around presence on the court. This may very well be the best he has played this season, as you said, since getting Anthony Davis.
Yes. Yes. Because he had no choice but to play with Anthony Davis. Before, if Kyle Kuzma had a great shooting and great scoring night, it probably meant Anthony Davis either wasn't available or he didn't play along a lot of minutes. But no, he found a way to be really effective and efficient playing alongside Anthony Davis. That's what made this the best game. It's not just the point total, because he has scored more points. And we've seen him go off against Houston this year. We've seen him go off against OKC this year. We know he can get the buckets. But sometimes he gets so caught up in his offense and getting the buckets, he doesn't do the other little things that separate him from being a really good scorer to being a really good player. There is a difference. Alex English was a fantastic scorer, but no one would tell you that he was an amazing player, an overall player, but he was a hell of a scorer.
He had some high socks.
Hell of a scorer. Eddie Johnson was a hell of a scorer, but no one's going to tell you they were a great overall player. What Kyle Kuzma still has an opportunity to become is a great overall player. If he continues to do the things he showed us he was doing last night, Andy. Andy and Raj, I felt like I was sitting in the audience and watching my baby graduate from middle school. I know it's not supposed to be a real...
He was a proud.
I know it's not supposed to be a real graduation. I know some people like going... Some people were looking at me like going, what are you crying about? This is just middle school. You can't get to high school without middle school. If you don't get to you don't get there with middle school, you can't get to high school. If you can't go to high school, you can't go to college.
It's I didn't think you could do it's algebra. Step. I didn't think you could do algebra.
I didn't. I was sitting there. I was like, oh, my God, he got a rebound in that situation. Because those are the rebounds that Chris Bosh got.
Yes.
That rebound that he got. We like to focus in on the shot for Ray Allen. Chris Bosh got a critical in-traffic offensive rebound that set up the situation so Ray Allen could hit that shot in the NBA Finals. What I watched last night was a Kyle Kuzma who might be able to do that, who might be able to get us those critical loose balls. Not just about the scoring, though the scoring is important. You need a reliable third option, but you need the other things too. And he really did that. His play to me was as important as the play of the other two stars on this squad in terms of securing that 103-101 victory. So I just wanted to make sure I gave him, because when he doesn't play well, I give it to him. Yeah. I give it to him. So when he plays well, I'm going to give it to him. Best game of the year for him.
Yeah, and with Kuzma too, like, he's never been in this situation before. He's never been in the playoffs before. So you always wonder, okay, how is a guy like Kuzma in this situation going to react? And on top of it, he's in this completely, uncharted environment in the bubble with his season having restarted. There's all sorts of stuff going on. And yes, these are not the playoffs. We understand that. Like, it's different to do this in the playoffs than it is during an important regular season game, but it's nothing close to once the actual playoffs begin. But what you want to see, and, we'll have a good idea of this the next game Saturday against Toronto. Is this something Kuzma's building off? Like, is this the direction that things are headed? Because remember, the last of the scrimmage games that Kuzma played in, he played really well. He put up 25 points on 13 shots. I think it was 10 of 13 from the field. And like we talked about, they were sensible shots. They were shots in rhythm. They were ones that he wasn't forcing. And he was looking to do other things. You know, when they brought in Markieff Morris right before the season was suspended, you know, that was, in theory, a moment for Kuzma to be put in a position to shine at the wing because he was going to have an opportunity to play more of those minutes at the three because Markieff would be at the four. Or it was potentially an opportunity for Kuzma to find himself getting squeezed because at the time, there was nobody in the Lakers rotation when they had everybody on hand, everybody was healthy, that you could justify taking minutes from other than Kuzma. Like, Kuzma had been so inconsistent. But he actually told me, because I asked him about this, he said that he actually considers himself more of a wing player, particularly defensively. He thinks he's much better defensively to take on wing assignments than to take on fours or, you know, try to do something as an undersized five. And again, we saw that in matchups against Kawhi Leonard in this game. Kyle Kuzma held his own defensively against one of the best offensive forces in the league, one of the best individual ISO scorers in the league. Kyle Kuzma held serve, man, and that matters. I mean, that's really significant. That
absolutely matters. Yes, it matters. Yes, absolutely it matters because, to your point, Morris was supposed to come in and just take his minutes.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's what I assumed was going to happen. He's bigger, he's stronger, he's more physical, he can knock down the three. I just assumed he was going to come in and take his minutes because we were at the point in Kuz's performances in which I was exhausted from asking or defending the fact that the third person on a LeBron James championship team always struggled. And it got to the point I got tired of hearing my voice say that, in which I was like, all right, fine. Let his minutes get eaten up by someone else. Fine. And maybe Morris's presence has clicked with him and he decided he wanted to do something. Or maybe it was Deion Waiters' presence, you know, that clicked and he decided that he needed to do something more. Whatever it was, the Kyle Kuzma that showed up last night, the one that came through when we needed him to, the one on the defensive assignments, to your point, who at the very least made Kawhi work, and we're going to make sure we give LeBron James his proper due. For anyone who still thinks that Kawhi is the best player in the bubble, Kurt Heelan, you ridiculous statement like that. The hell? That's why I was offended yesterday when he said it. Stop. That dude, as long as we got that dude and he's playing like that, LeBron James is the best player.
All right. Period. Speaking of that dude, LeBron James, it was an interesting night for him. A lot of struggles, but also a lot of reminders why, as you said, LZ, he's the best dude in the bubble. Get into LeBron next.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes, man, come on.
So I had a buddy over yesterday, Andy.
Ooh.
And he's a Clipper fan. He's a Clipper fan. I'm letting you know, how much I love Jesus. So we're sitting there, and I ordered some Harold and Bales because I wasn't going to cook, and I needed to support a black business after watching John Lewis's Homegoing. So I got myself some catfish nuggets and some chicken wings fried hard. Had some red beans and rice.
Mac. What's the name of the place?
Come on, chicken wings fried hard.
Harold and Bales. Okay. Harold and Bales. Yes. Very, very good food. Very good food. And so I'm sitting there and we nibbling, and the Lakers are rolling, right? Lakers are rolling. And I'm putting hot sauce on the little chicken catfish nuggets, and I'm talking smack. And he's quiet. He's real quiet. Then around the third quarter, the script flips a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Lakers lose the lead. Next thing you know, Clippers are rolling. Paul George can't miss. And this dude, I almost called him something. This dude had the nerve to start chirping. He had the nerve to start chirping. Eating my catfish. Eating my hot wings.
Ooh.
Had the nerve to start chirping. Now, to his credit, it was polite chirping. Nonetheless, he was still chirping.
Was it Marcellus?
And I
was just going to say, so then after Marcellus took your nuggets, what did he do next?
I say polite chirping. Marcellus wouldn't be polite.
Oh, so no, you're right.
Yes. Yeah, polite would have been up. He would have been walking all around. So then, once it got real tight, neither one of us would say anything to the other. And we weren't making eye contact anymore. We were both just looking straight ahead. So at the end of the game, I was just like, hey, man, you passing chicken nuggets over here, man? Those little chicken wings over here, man? You good? You good? And he just looked. I was like, man, it's all right. It's all right. You guys fought hard. It was a good game. You know, it was a good effort. You know, you should be used to this by now. You lost two in a row to the Lakers. You should be used to this by now. But it was real funny just kind of watching with a fellow Clipper and seeing them realize that maybe the Clippers are still going to clip. Watching him realize that all the hype, after all the smack talk and blah, 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 he watching him sink in and realize we still just might be the Clippers in this town. They might still be the Lakers.
I've had a long-standing theory. I've had a long-standing theory for years that the Clipper curse, as it were, if you believe in such a thing, will never be fully broken until the Clippers formally disassociate with the number one fan, Shelly Sterling. Until they've broken all of the ties from the Sterling family, because her role in all of that as well, her hands were quite dirty. Like, yes, she was no innocent in that whole thing. And she managed to kind of have her cake and eat it too in that whole process. And the Clippers, you know, in the NBA, did not completely sever ties with her. So my theory, as it were, is until Shelly is out of the picture, the Clippers will always, as you say, they're going to clip. But at the same time, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George reminded us a lot in that game. Those are still two bad dudes. Those are two really, really good players. That shot Paul George hit, that little step back three to make things interesting.
Yeah, when he went behind his back during transition. I'm not going to lie. I am not going to lie. I'm always going to tell the truth and show the shame the devil. When Paul George hit that shot, I was like, damn. Like, I was like, I got hyped. And I was just like going, uh-oh, what am I doing? Am I a Clipper fan now? What does this mean? That is not an easy shot at all.
No. Oh, my God.
At all. But he made it look like it was child's play. He was so smooth with it. Dribble, 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 made sure LeBron James took several steps into the paint and he had a further spot to recover from, went behind his back, stepped back, stroke. And I was like, oh, damn. He may not know where he really wants to play because every time he's on a different team, that was the team he grew up watching. But regardless, that dude is a force, man. He's gotten so good. His jumper is so wet and he's so long and he's so good on defense. I really like the Clipper squad. I do, man. They're a good team, man.
Yes, they are.
They're a good team.
Yes, they are. And
they're fun to watch. And
they
And when they pull up their little shorts and they get into the defensive stance and they decide they're going to lock you up, they do a damn good job, man.
Yeah. When they have Lou Williams back, when they have Montrezl Harrell back, when Patrick Beverley's fully up to speed because he had been out of the bubble for so long, you know, when all of those guys, their time in Orlando so far has been really disjointed. When they hopefully can get everybody together on the same page, they are going to be a force to reckon with. But the Lakers already are. And we saw down the stretch of this game, because LeBron James spent most of this game struggling offensively. He spent the majority of this game struggling pretty badly and pretty uncharacteristically offensively. He was missing outside shots. He was missing bunnies. He was just struggling. But down the stretch of this game, he reminded you time and time again, including that game-winning shot where he misses this little, you know, like a little runner in the lane, follows his own shot, gets the putback to ice it. And that was after the layup that he had driving to the basket. All the different things LeBron can do, setting up baskets, the final possession where he guards in the same possession, Kawhi Leonard then
both
switches
of them.
On to Paul George, switches on to both.
Both of them. Both of them. Both
even,
of them.
Even
he locked up both of them, dog.
Even in a game where LeBron legitimately spends about 41 minutes struggling, like the first 41, 42 minutes struggling, you are always going to have a shot on a multitude of levels with him on the court. You just are.
Listen, when it was Kawhi, I was like, all right, he's already shown that when he decides, Kawhi can't get free. If you notice, after that layup that somewhat embarrassed LeBron, when he had him ISO'd on the wing and he just kind of went right by him and shot a layup, after that shot, Kawhi didn't get nothing on LeBron, dog. After that, LeBron was in his business. Wouldn't even allow a brush screen, which sometimes they will just do that. The brush screen, they just let the switch go. He fought over the brush screens. So if they didn't give LeBron James a legitimate screen, he was on Kawhi. Kurt Heelan.
Dude,
best ever. Come on,
leave Andy's friend alone.
No, I ain't letting him come on our show, Ron. We got fake news.
I got to say,
fake news. That's why I was so offended yesterday. I was so offended yesterday. I was like, it was unimaginable that unimaginable that I would sit there and let someone come on this show and just lie and not challenge. And somebody trying to tell me that Kawhi Leonard was the best player in that bubble. Man, stop. When he decides he's going to get to the rim, 90 out of 99 times, he's going to get to the rim. And when he decides not today, you ain't scoring, dog. Ask Giannis. When he decided not today, whether it was in the All-Star game or whether it was the last game before the shutdown of the season, he decided Giannis ain't scoring on me, dog, and Giannis didn't score. Now, you can sit there and say, well, Kawhi still got some, you know, scored more, blah, blah. Yeah, you can say
he was hurt.
But think about the individual matchups, man. Those individual matchups, LeBron James slid his feet. He was physical. And then on the final play, to your point, Andy, when it was switched and he was on Paul George, this man is grown. Do you see where he was? He stayed on Paul George's shooting hand. He stayed on his shooting hand the entire
without
time.
Without putting his own hand up, without fouling. He positioned his body well. That was
And if you look at the replay, which I did several times because I just love that whole, I love when intelligence shows up in the court. When the switch happens, LeBron James quickly glances down the court to look at the shot clock because he wanted to know when Paul George was going to pull the trigger. That's the reason why he rolled the white hand the way he did, because he knew Paul George didn't have a whole lot of time left because he had checked the clock. And so he didn't care what kind of moves Paul George was making. What he wasn't going to do was let him get a three off, so he had a hand. And he did that so quickly and so smoothly. I just sat there, I was like going, that is some grown man defensive genius level stuff right there. Grown man genius level stuff right there. We need to soak this in, man. Soak this in. We're looking at greatness.
We are going to soak it, and we're going to get back to the Lakers. We're going to be talking a lot about this win in the season restarting 877-710-ESPN if you want to weigh in. But the Dodgers, another team winning right now.
Oh, yeah.
Row in Arizona.
Oh, yeah.
And an unlikely hero emerging so far this season for the Dodgers. Get into that next, 710-ESPN. Okay, the Dodgers
I was going to say, you know the best part of last night? For me, besides the catfish nuggets that when they arrived was still hot, shout out to your Postmates. They were still hot. You know, the chicken nuggets, when they're hot, it just melts in your mouth. The best part about last night's game was that it followed up what was already a really, really good night for the NBA. A really solid night from the NBA. You know, I got lost in watching the Pelicans and Jazz. I didn't feel like it was weird, even though I could look and see that they weren't really playing in front of fans. Even though I could look, Andy, and see that there aren't people in the stands, and I know that the way that they're sitting, there's no real bench. Like, I could see all of that, but the production value of it was so good that I just got lost in it, and it just felt regular. It didn't feel like they were like playing in front of no one. It didn't feel as if they was out of the ordinary. The quality of play, in addition to the production value, made me feel as if it was just a regular season game, and that for a moment, the pandemic didn't stop the world. Like, I was afraid that Andy, that I was going to be watching the reopening of the NBA, and it was going to be a constant reminder that things are messed up. And instead, it looked like normal.
It felt good. It felt good seeing this. The basketball felt right. You know, I mean, could you tell that it's been a little while since these guys have played some games? Sure. But the actual presentation of it, you know, for all the focus about, you know, the piped in noise and the virtual fans and all that stuff, from a television experience, like watching it in LA, like us, I got to be honest, I feel like unless you are looking to be distracted by this, like you're looking to harp on it, you're looking to not enjoy it, you're going to forget in the first 5 minutes, if that long. Like, it feels like basketball.
Yeah.
Like, at the end of the day, you're not watching these games to watch the crowd. You're not watching these games to see what the PA person does. You're watching this game because you want to see what happens on the court. And it feels like basketball. Like, it does. It's the same way I feel, by the way, about the Dodgers. You know, watching the Dodgers with, you know, they've really leaned into the whole cardboard cutout thing. You know, they're letting you put your pets out there if you want. But at the end of the day, man, it feels like the Dodgers playing. And unless you are looking to be distracted and looking to not like it, you're going to be happy with what you see. You're going to enjoy what's out there for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And that to me was the best part. As much as we can try during the viewership, make it simulate some sense of normality, I think this experiment with the NBA and the bubble and the other teams as well is going to be okay. Football is going to be tricky because the owners appear to be a little bit bullheaded and stupid in a lot of ways. But, you know, I'm confident that eventually when things get going, they'll figure out some of the things the NBA has figured out, and that it's going to look okay, it's going to look normal, and we'll be able to get through it. And I also love the fact that the broadcast did not shy away from the messaging, did not shy away from the conversations of Breonna Taylor and voting and the importance of registering to vote. Did not shy away from what these young men had on the back of their jerseys, what was on the court. Did not shy away from the moment. I felt like baseball, I feel, this is just me, I feel like baseball, they've checked the mark, and now they can just go on with business as usual. I'm watching them, Andy, and it feels like they was like, well, we did black stuff on opening night, and now we can just go back and pretend like everything is normal. I don't feel as if basketball is going to do that. Players are going to let basketball do that.
That is the difference in some ways between having a bubble that, you know, thus far, fingers crossed, knock on wood, is maintaining and keeping the players from testing positive, keeping the players from being exposed to the virus. So therefore, you can do these, you know, presentational elements, for a lack of a better way of putting it, that I think everybody's sincere about, and everybody, you know, these players, and I think even, you know, the coaches, Frank Vogel has been very, very vocal about this, and I think the league really wants to make a point of keeping that narrative going, keeping that discussion alive. It's easier to do that when your league doesn't feel like it's chaos. Like, right now, I don't know how much baseball really wants to keep this conversation going or not, but it's chaotic enough that, like, they have to put the Black Lives Matter thing to a side a little bit just to make sure that they can actually keep the league going. You know what I mean? Like, the league right now is a mess. So, you know, baseball's not in a position where they're going to be able to present this stuff nice and neat. Did you see the quote that Doc Rivers had about kneeling during the anthem?
Which one?
He said, quote,
"No.
In 2 minutes, my knee is hurting. Yet a guy had his knee on someone's neck for 8 minutes. There were guys that needed towels under their knees. And yet someone kneeled on another human being's neck for 8 minutes. That's nuts when you think about it. Like, these are the moments that the NBA is going out of their way to remind us all about and to make sure that we're not done thinking about it.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah. Who would have thought that when all of that went down with Donald Sterling and the racism that was spewing out of his mouth, that we fast forward to this moment and it's the sage words of Clippers players as well as the head coach and the owner, by the way, Steve Ballmer. From the top down, this organization has gone from being a laughingstock and the root of racism in sports to a clear leader in this community from a financial and philosophical perspective, particularly as it pertains to this conversation of racial justice and equality. Who would have thought that out of all that chaos and jokes that we had about Donald Sterling, that this rose would grow from that concrete, that this phoenix would rise from those ashes? Because the Clippers, to me, have done a masterful job under Steve Ballmer in terms of utilizing its platform, its leverage, its relationships, as well as its deep pockets to try to make the community in which it's based a better place. And I just want to applaud them for that, in addition to putting out there a very, very good product. I mean, the reason why last night's game was so good was because the Clippers are really good and the Lakers are really good. And it's exciting to have two really good teams in this city at this time. As we're talking about these important issues, the Lakers in his history and the great Kareem Abdul-Jabbar leading the way with his words and his and the things that he pens for various publications. And now the Clippers are in on it. So we got good ball and we got good servicemen, good service people at the same time. It's awesome. It's an awesome time to be in the city right now, man.
Yeah, it really is. It's really a time where you can be proud of the city, too. And we're definitely going to talk a lot about that over the next 3 hours and change. But coming up next, it's a snake draft. It's my opportunity to be swept. Or can I get one more? one win for the road. We shall see. That is next.
Hey, that's right. You know what that means. It's that time of the day. It's a snake draft. That's right. So, guys, we had a couple things coming in. What was the reason we're doing this one, Andy? I forgot.
I saw an ad for
because
Drew Barrymore.
Because he keeps losing.
Be quiet. Oh,
saw an ad truth? For Drew Barrymore's, it is the truth, upcoming talk show. And it was a cool ad where Drew Barrymore, as an adult, was interviewing a clip of Drew Barrymore when she was 7 on The Tonight Show. And she was a child actress, and it reminded me of a good story, because often the story's not bad. So,
all right.
Snake draft of best child actor careers, actors that began as kids, and then it turned out well.
Oh. And with that being said, LZ, you are first. Give me your best child actor career.
It's a snake draft.
I'm going to go with the guy who was absolutely adorable as a kid, grew up to become one of the most powerful Hollywood directors of all time, and that's Ron Howard.
Yes.
Ooh, that's a good one. A sneaky little one there. Ginger. Ginger in the first round.
It's a good one.
I'm going to go with Ron Howard, you know.
Fair enough, Ron Howard. That's Andy. That'll bring it to you, and you have back-to-back picks because you know what this is.
It's a snake draft.
That's right. Who are you taking here, Andy?
I'm going to begin with one Leonardo DiCaprio.
He began
on Growing Pains. He got an Oscar nomination early in his career, a bunch of others. He is now Scorsese's new De Niro. You got to be good to make that happen. He's also pretty guaranteed box office. From there, I'm going to go with Reese Witherspoon, who began as a child actress and now has become one of the most powerful actresses and producers in Hollywood. She's won an Oscar for Walk the Line. So there you go.
Okay.
Leonardo DiCaprio, Reese Witherspoon.
There goes your draft.
All right, so instead of blowing you in the third round, we're going to blow it in the second round. Okay, I got you. You're moving things up. You're just going to cut to the chase. All right, that's fine. Yeah, it's your draft. That's fine. All right, LZ, it is back to you. You got back-to-back picks. You know what's up.
It's a snake draft.
Who are you taking?
It is a snake draft.
It's a snake draft.
So I'm going to take I have back-to-back picks, right?
We just said it's a snake draft.
It's a snake draft.
Okay. I just want to make sure because I'm taking back-to-back sisters. Back-to-back sisters. Sister number one, she started off as a poor, abused child who was adopted by Mona.
Wow.
And yeah, she has gone on to be one of the biggest selling artists of all time. That is Janet Jackson.
Call me Miss Jackson
if you're nasty.
And that's back-to-back Jackson family members in Snake Draft. She took Michael in the last one.
You guys know I'm a good time savant, so I appreciate that one. I appreciate that one a lot.
All right. Fair enough. And then your third round pick, sir.
My third round pick is my girl who started off as a real child actress, and she's been in the game for 30 plus years. She just got nominated for more Emmys. In fact, her show, Watchmen, got 26 Emmy nominations. 227 is the place to be with Marla Gibbs and her family. I'm going with Regina King.
Yep.
Ooh. The King. Regina the King.
The King.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The King. She was on my list. All right. I love Regina King.
Well, you should have took her in the second round there, but you guess that's fine.
Well, Elsie had given me the impression that she was behind. I thought maybe she would slip to me.
Need to get too cute in the second round, but that's fine. You can make up for it, Andy. Who are your third and fourth picks here? You got back-to-back. You know what time it is.
It's a snake draft.
It is a snake draft. I am going my next pick. He began with the Mickey Mouse Club and has since turned into one of the most powerful forces across entertainment, period, Justin Timberlake.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Oh. That will be a first or second round pick, but that's kind. You want to be cute, but I like that. Let's see. All right, now here it is. Can you get it? You can get it back here. You can get it back. Okay. What's your last pick, Andy?
Oh, so much pressure.
You got some Justin Timberlake music there, Jorge? No?
So many different choices.
I can't help. You
so
remember?
Little time. But I'm going to go with a guy who is on the rise right now, and I think he's one of the most powerful young actors. Michael B. Jordan began on The Wire. Then he ended up
Michael B. Jordan.
Ryan Coogler's guy, Black Panther, Fruitvale Station, Creed. He's becoming an industry.
We will
Michael
not
B.
Have
Jordan.
Very Wakanda. Good. Nice there. Great. Strong. Yeah. Wakanda in the house. Wakanda forever. All right. LZ, forever. Your final pick here. Favorite child star career.
Yes. My final pick started off as an actor in a wheelchair, actually, on the popular series Degrassi. This Canadian has since changed his persona and his energy
Bieber?
To something more of a street cred, if you will. I do
Bieber.
Believe right now he holds the record for the most top 10 singles in Billboard history.
Get out of here.
Going with Drake.
Wow.
I'm going with
that
Drake.
Is a list there.
That's an interesting pick. That is an interesting pick.
All right.
Why
so
is
there
that an interesting pick?
It's an interesting pick because, honestly, I think a lot of people have forgotten that Drake started out acting. I'm just saying, like Janet Jackson, I think, had a higher profile as an actor.
Well, some would argue that he's still acting. Andy, some would argue that he's still acting.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
All right. So to wrap this up, just this is our favorite child actor careers. LZ starts with the ginger Ron Howard, Janet Jackson, Regina King, and Drake. Andy goes with Leonardo DiCaprio, Reese Witherspoon, right? Justin Timberlake and Michael B. Jordan. So, of course, you can go there. We'll track Janice. I believe she's off the day after the Laker game, but she'll help us out and put it up on ESPN Los Angeles Twitter feed. And you can go and vote. And good luck, gentlemen. Good luck.
It's a snake draft.
Oh, it is a snake
it's
draft.
It's a snake draft.
You know what? I wanted something a little random as a category. I picked the category.
I like
it. I was wanting something a little unusual, a little different.
They're all random.
It's
totally fine.
Yeah. This one was like kind of especially random. There were a lot of people to choose from. Like there are a lot of people. You forget how long.
Yeah, I'm surprised you guys didn't take anyone from Mr. Drummond's house. I mean, the great Different Strokes had a lot to choose from. And what about Andy? What about Anita Baker's son? You don't know Anita Baker's son?
No.
Emmanuel Stewart.
He's trying to make
you could have taken Emmanuel Stewart. Emmanuel Lewis, whoever that is, Emmanuel Stewart was a boxer. But Emmanuel Lewis from Webster. You could have taken Webster. There were plenty of you guys left off.
The door was
the Drummond family.
I thought the goal was to make sure that that they were that the story ended well. I guess.
Yes. Remember.
Hey, listen. Webster was on for a solid 1.5 years. Okay, that was a fine show.
Well, but it, again, we were looking for happier outcomes, a positive end to the story. Coming up again, the Lakers 103-101 win over the Clippers. The bubble. It's all restarted. Anthony Davis announced his presence in this game, beginning and end. We'll get into that coming up next. 710 ESPN.